All right, we're here in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to focus on verses 24 and 25. But let's look first at verse number 25, where the Bible reads, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, this is probably the most famous verse on the importance of church and church attendance. This is the verse that people quote all the time. And it's a great verse, but quite honestly, you don't get the full picture unless you go back to the verse before. Okay? In verse number 24, where the Bible reads is, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Notice how there's a colon after works. What that's doing is it's going to connect verse 25 with verse 24. So how is it that we provoke unto love and to good works? By going to church. Okay, that's the full picture of what's being said. So we're going to look at 5 points here today. And I want you to look first at verse number 24, where the Bible reads, "And let us consider one another." Consider one another. See, the first point in this sermon of the purpose of church is to consider one another. That's the number one reason why you should be at church, is because you're considering other people as opposed to yourself. Now, oftentimes you say, "Well, Brother Stuckey, you know, I know I need to be in church so I can learn the Word of God and I can be motivated and get sin out of my life." Hey, that's all great and everything, but the number one point is because of the fact you're considering one another. You're not considering yourself, but you're considering other people. That is why you should be in church. Now, turn to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Now look, there are a lot of benefits of going to church. There's a lot of reasons why it's a good idea to go to church. There's tons of benefits, but what's the purpose? What's the point? It's to consider one another. Consider other people. And as a result of considering one another, you end up reaping those benefits of being at church. But the number one reason why you should be in church is because you're considering other people. You're worried about them as opposed to yourself. Now this should not be shocking to us, because what's the whole purpose of the Christian life? What did Jesus teach us? The number one thing is that your life is not about you, but it's about other people. That's the number one thing you read in the Bible. That's the whole point. I mean, if you've been with us for 6 months and you don't know this yet, that's the thing I want you guys to realize. The number one thing you need to learn in church is that your life is not about you. It's about other people. And if we get that point down and we understand that and believe that and realize what that means, it's going to affect how we live our entire lives. Look, you know, we go soul winning sometimes and we don't feel like it. You say, why? Because we're considering one another. We're considering those people that are lost out there. And they have no hope without us. You know, that's why we live our lives, to consider other people as opposed to ourselves. Philippians 2, starting at verse number 2, the Bible reads, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Now, if you've listened to Pastor Jimenez preach a lot of sermons, this is the number one verse he quotes, Philippians 2:3. It's not even close. He quotes that verse more than any other verse in the Bible. Consider other people. Esteem others better than yourself. What does that mean? It basically means that you're looking at other people as being more important than yourself. You're esteeming them better than yourself. So on days when you don't feel like doing something, and I don't feel like going soul winning, I don't feel like preaching the gospel to the lost, but wait a minute, what about those lost people? Do they want to hear the gospel? And the answer to that would be yes. You esteem others better than yourself, okay? Our lives are not simply about us, they're about other people. Now you might say, Brother Stuckey, that's so hard. We give up so much to be at church, and now we have to just care about other people more than ourselves. Look, you're going to be happier if you care about other people than if you just care about yourself.
Yeah.
Look at the rich people out there that have everything handed to them. Everything in life is just about them, and they get everything they want. They're miserable people.
Yeah.
That's why they commit suicide when they're 30 years old. That's why they die of alcohol poisoning or drug overdose or whatever when they're 30 years old. Why? Because of the fact their whole life is about them, they end up being miserable. That's the way it works. Our lives are not about us, they're about other people. Okay? Verse number 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And so we don't just look at our own things and what benefits us and what do we want. We look on the things of others. Okay? Now that does not mean that you look that somebody has some suit and you say, "Man, I like that." look on the things of others, man, I want that. Now that's called being covetous. That's not what it's saying when look on the things of others, like, man, I wish I had that car. I wish I had that house. I wish I had that. No. That's not what the Bible's saying. What it's saying, though, is you look at other people and you look at the things that are important and necessary for them, and you don't care about what you need. Right. You care about what they need. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, this is what Jesus Christ taught us. So when you go back to this chapter about the love of Christ and what he did, look, he laid down his life for us. This was the mind of Jesus Christ. Now, people didn't get this when he was alive because they figured he would come here to be a conquering hero. He didn't do that. He came here and he cared about other people more than himself. And what he's telling you is, let this same mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our lives are not supposed to be about us. They're supposed to be about other people. Now turn to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. And so what exactly does this mean? What's a practical application? Well, realize that when you're coming to church, you're coming to church because you care about the people at that church.
Yeah,
you don't care about what you need. You care about what they need. So let's talk about something from a practical standpoint. Is church a place where you come to make money? No, it's not. This is not a place where you go to sell your business. You don't make this place a house of merchandise. We don't make it a house of merchandise here.
Yeah,
right? We don't sell anything at this church. Everything's free. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. It's not a house of merchandise. But this is not a place for you to come in and try to get money from people.
Right.
Didn't we deal with that problem several months ago? And that was kind of like the final straw with that person, where it's like, you don't come to our church and start asking people for money.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Not appropriate. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, I don't know, that seems pretty harsh that you're mad about people asking for money. No, I'll tell you what's harsh is when God strikes down Gehazi with leprosy permanently. Why? Because he used religion to make money.
Right.
Isn't that what you see?
Yeah.
Naaman was healed and he's gone, and then basically he lies to Elisha and he lies to Naaman, and he just asks for basically a little bit of money. And what did Elisha say? Hey, this is not the time to ask for money. And he got struck with leprosy permanently. It cleaved onto him permanently. Why? Because church is not the place to get money from people.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You don't come to this church and start asking people for money. That's not the way church works.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the true, sad reality, that at any church in the world, people always ask for money.
Yep. Yeah.
And usually, they're not even members of your church. They just kind of come to church and then they ask for money. That's the way it usually works. Look, just this morning, at 6 in the morning, you could ask my wife. I woke up and I showed her a message from someone who visited our church like 3 months ago. That was the last time they were here. They came during the mission trip. That was the last time. And then they were asking for money. And it's like, you know, you're not even a member of our church. And it's like, I don't even know you. You know, how am I going to give money to someone I don't really even know? You say, does this situation happen often? It happens several times every single month. Look, at the end of this service, we're actually I'm going to hand you guys out our finances over the first 6 months of this church and go through each of the categories really quickly. But look, if we gave money to everybody who asked for money, we would not have these AC units. We would not have these chairs. We wouldn't have anything. Say why? Because for one, there's a lot of people that ask for money. And two, once you start giving some people money, it just increases the amount of people asking. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And look, this is not a place where you just come in and, you know, you just ask for money and stuff like that. Look, that is not the purpose of church. You say, why? Because the purpose of church is other people.
No.
It's not yourself.
Yeah.
You don't use the church for your benefit. Now, will this church benefit you? Absolutely. This church will benefit your life. It will change your life. But you don't try to use the church for your own benefit.
Yeah.
No, you're coming to church because you care about other people more than yourself. Okay. Now, let me just say this, that my suggestion would be that if somebody ever asks you individually for money from this church, you know, you probably should talk to me about it first, because there's a good chance they've already asked me for money as well. Okay. And there's a good chance I might kind of know some about the situation. All right. But if somebody comes in, especially, it's different. For example, there's people that are here every single week that are members of our church, and we love them, we care about them. Look, if people fall on hard times, the church can be there to help them out.
Because
the church cares about them, they know them, they love them. But if it's somebody who's not even here, who's not even part of our church, and they start coming and asking for money, it's like, you know what, that's not appropriate. That is not the purpose of church. You don't use the church for money. And if you think what I'm saying is harsh, then you need to go back to, I think it's 2 Kings 5, and read the story of Naaman and Gehazi. okay? Because they use the church for money, and what happens? Gehazi gets struck with leprosy permanently.
Yeah.
Okay? You don't use the church for money. Now look, most Baptist churches in the Philippines, aren't they into religion for filthy lucre's sake?
Right. Amen. Yeah.
That's the truth. How does God feel about it? Well, remember the story of Gehazi. He got struck with leprosy forever. Okay? Matthew 20, verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. See, the Lord Jesus Christ came here. He didn't come as a conquering hero to have everybody just minister unto him and everything like that. No, he ministered unto them.
Right.
He was a servant unto all. And look, Jesus was not rich when he was here.
Right.
For all these pastors that want to make all this money, look, Jesus was not rich when he was here.
Right.
So it's like, why in the world would you think that if you're preaching the Word of God that you should be rich and you should be, you know... Anyways, that's a whole other rabbit trail. But look, church, the purpose of it is not to get rich, okay? Now, I want you to think about something else from a logical standpoint. Let's say that every single person showed up today with the purpose and the mindset that I am here so that way other people could benefit me and encourage me and motivate me. I'm here just so other people can motivate me, okay? Look, if everybody had that mindset, then nobody would be motivated.
Right, yeah.
Because nobody would actually be trying to help motivate other people and encourage them. But let's say everybody showed up today with the mindset, I'm going to come to try to help encourage other people, no matter what's going on in my life. I'm here to try to encourage and help other people. Then everybody walks away encouraged.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
See, if we live our lives only about ourselves, we come to church and say, I'm here just to, how can this benefit me? Then nobody's going to be benefited.
Yep. Yeah.
You need to come to church with the mindset, how can I benefit and help other people? Okay? Now turn in your Bible back to Hebrews 10. And so the first point of this sermon is just simply this, that we need to consider one another. That's what it says in Hebrews 10, verse 24. And you say, well, why is it that we consider one another? Well, what does it say in verse number 24? Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You see, a church helps provoke you unto love and good works. It helps motivate you to read the Bible. It helps motivate you to go soul winning. It helps motivate you to live your life caring about other people. See, that's a purpose of church. And you need to consider one another. Why? Because if we don't encourage one another, then honestly, our motivation's just going to die out.
Yeah, right.
We need to be here and encourage and help one another to continue to motivate them. You say, why? Because the world kicks us around 7 days a week.
Yep.
It kicks you around with the music and the movies and everything out there. Everything you hear, people talk about getting drunk and fornicating and all this stuff. Look, the world kicks you around. You need to come to church and have something completely different.
Right.
You need to learn the Word of God and you need to have people encourage you. Because as a Christian, the world will try to destroy your motivation every single day.
Right.
You need to come to church and get encouraged and get help from one another. But you don't come to church in order to get encouragement. You come to church in order to encourage one another. And what happens? You reap what you sow.
Man.
If you come to encourage one another, you're going to get encouraged.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't we believe that you reap what you sow? That's not just a verse saying that, hey, you live some sinful life, you're going to reap that. That's not the only thing it's saying. That's the bad part.
Yeah.
But the good part is that if you choose to serve one another, then guess what? Your needs are going to be met as well. Okay, turn to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. I mean, you can look at our results in our bulletin of how many souls have been saved as a church. It's a team effort. If this church did not exist, then the amount of souls that we would have gotten saved combined would be nowhere near that number. Why? Because when you're at church, it helps motivate you to live for God.
Right.
Other people are excited to win souls and do things for God, and it motivates you. And here's what takes place. Some weeks, I'm going to show up and I'm really excited and encouraged, and I'm ready to conquer the world. Other weeks, I'm going to show up and I'm not feeling very good at all. And honestly, I need people to encourage me.
Yep.
Okay? And see, that's the thing with church, because we all have our high points and we have our low points. Now, the key is this, that you must be at church whether you're at a high point or a low point.
Amen.
Because the natural tendency is that when you're not feeling good, you just kind of forsake church.
No. Yeah.
And you feel like, if I forsake church, it's going to make me feel so much better. No, it's not.
Yes.
You're going to be miserable. When you're feeling bad, you must be in church. Why? Because people can encourage and help you and motivate you.
Amen. Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to fade out. Malachi 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. You say, Brother Stuckey, how often is often? Okay? What does that mean? Well, it probably means coming to church more than once a month.
Right.
It probably means hearing from people that love the Lord as much as possible and being around God's people as much as possible. Why? Because the more you're around God's people, the more motivated you're going to be. And see, this was the pattern in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Whether you go back pre-flood days or our current life that we have now, that the people that feared the Lord would be hated by the rest of the world, and they need to speak often one to another to get motivated. Okay? Look, in the Old Testament, soul winning took place. But I'll tell you what, in the Old Testament, you also had to have God's people getting together to motivate one another. Otherwise, you're going to lose your motivation very quickly. Turn to Acts 2. Acts 2. Now, one thing I'm personally encouraged by is the fact that there's some people that honestly their schedules don't make it where they're able to come to church all the time, but then sometimes they show up after the services are over just for fellowship and soul winning. It's like, man, that's awesome. I've never really been part of a church that really doesn't. That's exciting. That's encouraging. And it's good because of the fact you need to speak often one to another as much as possible to keep up your motivation. Acts 2, verse 42, the Bible reads, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You say, Brother Stuckey, does the doctrine that we believe in matter? Absolutely, it matters. But the fellowship also matters.
Yep.
It's like, yes, we believe very strongly, you know, after the tribulation. Yes, we believe very strongly that believers in the Old Testament went to heaven. They didn't go to some holding place in hell.
Okay?
We believe these things.
Yeah.
Okay? But look, the doctrine is not going to be the only thing that you need to be motivated to live for God. Because you might know all the doctrine in the world, but you're still going to get depressed sometimes.
Yeah.
You're still going to go through trials, and guess what? It's the fellowship that's going to get you through those trials.
Amen.
It's not really going to be the doctrine. It doesn't really matter how much doctrine you know, because if you go through trials in life, that's not going to get you through it.
Yeah.
What gets you through it is the fellowship of people that love God, that comfort you, that motivate you to live for God. That's what gets you through it. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And so a pattern you saw in Acts 2, and Acts 2 is the big chapter where they get all those people saved, and you see after Acts 2 that the church just explodes in growth. Okay? One of the big parts of this is because they're continuing often in breaking of bread and in prayers. What that's saying is basically they're having meals together.
Nice.
I think it's great that on Sundays, you know, we have meals together as church. You know, we eat together, we fellowship, we talk about life and things like that. That is great to help continue to motivate you. Ephesians 4, verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So you see here in verse 16, it says, the whole body fitly joined together. When it says body, it's talking about the body of believers, this local body, the body of Christ, okay? And what it says is fitly joined together, okay? Now, he's using an example of a body because we all have bodies, okay? And we have a lot of parts or members to our body, and they're fitly joined together. And look, the way our bodies are designed, you can't just mix stuff and move it around. Right? I can't just move my hand and put it up here by my ear and move my ear down here. It's just not going to work very well. Okay? We're designed in a specific way. We're fitly joined together. Now, what would happen, though, if today I was missing one of my body parts? What would happen if I was missing, you know, one of my legs or missing one of my arms? It obviously is going to cause a big hindrance to me. What if I was missing an eye? It's obviously going to cause a big hindrance. What if you have a church where many people that are members of that church are just not there? They just forsake the assembly. It's going to affect the church.
Right, yeah. Right.
Because we're fitly joined together. You specifically have a purpose at this church.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay? Now, I don't necessarily know the exact reason why God has you here, but you have a specific purpose of why you're here. Okay? And you're meant to be here to be a benefit to other people. You need to find out what that role is. Also, in verse number 16, it says, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. If you think of compacted, Think of a trash compactor, okay? A trash compactor basically gets all the trash compacted together, really tight, okay? And so we as believers here, look, we're supposed to be very tightly joined together. We're supposed to be close with one another.
Yeah.
Now, one big reason why our church is compacted together is because of our doctrine. Because we believe the same things, and there's very few people that do, it makes us very close to one another.
Right.
Automatically. But you can't just forsake the fellowship. We're compacted together. This is the group of people that's going to reach this area for the gospel. Because of what we believe, we're compacted together, but we need the fellowship. Okay? We need both of these things. Look, it's hard to have good fellowship with people that believe different things.
Yeah, right? Yeah, right.
If people come to this church and they believe salvation is by repenting of all your sins, it's like kind of hard to have fellowship with that person. Right? They believe something completely different. That's not what our church stands for.
Yeah.
If they believe something completely different, they say, well, you know, I think the hymns are outdated. We're just going to sing these rock songs. Look, it's hard to really fellowship with them because of the fact we don't have that same doctrine that brings us together. But we do have the same doctrine in this room. In terms of important doctrines, we believe the same things.
Amen.
And you're never going to be this close to other people that believe different things.
Amen.
Right? You're going to be close to the people that have the same doctrine as you. But you need to actually be here.
Right.
If you're not here, you're not going to get the benefits of that.
That's true.
Verse number 16. That which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So effectual working means it actually has an effect in the measure of every part. Every part, every member, every person in this church, you're to be here and to help effectually work. It means it makes a difference. You being at this church, you make a difference to help motivate people to live for God. You make a positive difference at this church, not a negative difference, a positive difference. You're not a hindrance, but you're a help. That's what the Bible's saying here in Ephesians chapter 4. Now turn back to Hebrews 10. So what you don't want to do is be someone who, you come to church when you feel like coming to church. You say, why? Because of the fact, us at this church want you here.
Yep.
Right.
It doesn't really matter whether you feel like coming to church. It matters whether the people here want you at church. Now, I understand people can get sick and they can have valid reasons. I'm not denying that. Okay, I understand. Sometimes, you know, you have to miss church for valid reasons. But what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes some people come to church when they feel like it, or if they feel like living for God that day, well, I'll show up at church. If I don't, then I'm not going to show up at church. But it doesn't matter what you feel like.
No.
Remember the point of this sermon. Consider one another. What matters is, do the people at church want you here?
Yeah.
And if we at church want you here, then you should come.
No.
Okay? Wasn't last week a very exciting week?
No, man.
It's very exciting. You say, why? Because it was packed.
Right.
We had a lot of people here at church. We had a lot of people. So many. It was motivating to all of us.
Yep.
Okay? Now, look, the truth is that nobody at this church cares about the attendance more than I do. Okay? You say, why? Because every single week, I report to Pastor Menace how things are going. Okay? Every single week, I make a missionary update to report on how things are going. And so, honestly, when Sunday rolls around, I'm paying close attention to people that are coming. I know if somebody's been gone for a few weeks. I know if somebody's missing for various reasons. And I'm wondering in my head, hey, is something wrong? Is it their work schedule? Are they sick? Are they mad? What is it? You know? Why? It really matters to me. But quite honestly, it's going to matter to all of us, too. Because if you start coming to this church and in a couple months we have like 20 people here on Sundays, you're going to start to lose your motivation.
Yeah.
Right.
You get motivated seeing other people. Why? It validates everything we're doing.
Yeah.
It shows that, yeah, you know, God is behind this church. So many works and what we're preaching and the way we preach. Yes, it makes a difference. Because the other Baptist churches will mock us. They'll criticize what we do.
Yep.
But when we see a lot of people come here to church, we see, you know what? Obviously, coming to church makes a difference. And what we're doing makes a difference.
Right.
Okay. Now, I want you to understand that when you think of church, I personally believe that church is honestly the number one most basic part about being a Christian.
Amen.
The number one most basic part.
Amen.
So why? Because of the fact you can start coming to church, but it might take you a while to get into a habit of Bible reading every week. Now, you can come to church, but it's going to be hard to start being motivated to go soul winning every week, okay? And also, when it comes to, you know, church, what you're doing is basically showing, hey, I agree with this church. I believe in this church. I believe the same things as them. I have the same values as them. And so, when you're coming to church, what you're showing is, this is the group of people that I want to line up with. This is the group of people that I stand behind, okay? Now, look, people go to other churches, other Baptist churches here in the Philippines, and they know that their pastor might not even be saved. They say, my pastor preaches repentance of sins. It's like, why do you go there? Well, you know, I think I can change the pastor. I think I can change the church. I think that a guy who's been preaching a false gospel for 25 years, if I just, you know, show him through my good works, all of a sudden he'll get saved, become a soul winner, and just be like another pastor of minutes. That's not going to happen.
Right. That's ridiculous. Yeah.
And look, you know, I've been one of those foolish people before. I was at churches that were dead as can be, and I kind of stuck in there. I thought, hey, hopefully I can make a difference. It doesn't work. And many of us have learned that same lesson that I did and that other people need to learn. Right. It's not going to work. You say, what do I need to do? Forsake your dead church and come to a real church.
Amen.
That's what you need to do.
Amen.
You say, Brother Stucky, do you want to recruit people from these other Baptist churches in the Philippines? Yeah, actually I do.
Amen.
You say, why? Because of the fact, when you're preaching a false gospel, I don't feel too bad about stealing your members.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I feel bad about that? It's like, you're not even clear on what your gospel is.
Right.
You're not preaching the truth. Why would I feel bad about that? Do I feel bad if some Catholic church starts, Catholic person starts coming to our church? No, I don't feel bad. Why? Because the Catholic Church is a false church.
Amen.
Do I feel bad if somebody leaves or repents of sins Baptist Church and comes to our church? I don't feel bad at all.
Okay.
I'm going to sleep great tonight.
Amen.
In fact, the more people that come to our church, I'm going to sleep even better. I won't feel guilty about it. Okay? Now look, if that church is a real church and they're really preaching the truth, then yeah, you know what? Those people are welcome to stay at the church. That's fine. That's great. But the problem that we have is there aren't a lot of great churches around here.
Right.
And so, no, I'm not going to feel guilty if people leave a dead church and come to a real church.
Amen.
Why? Because our church is going to be the one in this area that goes soul winning and does something big for God.
Amen.
And I wish that was not the case. I wish that some of you that come a couple hours to this church, I wish you had a church just like this in your area. And, you know, Lord willing, one day that will be the case. Okay? But honestly, it's going to start with people just regularly attending our church, and eventually we can do a church plant.
Amen.
A church plant's never going to happen unless the people that listen to all the sermons online start actually coming here.
Right.
You say, Brother Stucky, if this church was near me, then I would, you know, go to this church. Yeah, but you're never going to have a church near you until you actually start coming to this church.
That's right.
People need to start coming to this church, and then guess what? We can start making plans of doing a church plant one day. But, you know, all the people that listen to sermons online and they go to a dead church, you're going to be a dead church the next 20 years then.
Right.
Because of the fact, you know what, it's not logical to start a church plan if our church isn't big enough. And so you need to just make the effort of actually coming to church for a little while. You say, Brother Stucky, that's easy for you to say. You live near the church. Look, I used to drive an hour and 45 minutes to church every week.
Right.
I used to drive an hour and 45 minutes when I lived in Pennsylvania. I worked in Maryland and I went to church in West Virginia. Okay. I drove an hour and 45 minutes and it was like a death drive during the wintertime. There's snow on the ground, there's deer that come around the corners and everything like that. I was scared many times. You know, there's times when the fog is so thick that I couldn't even see what I was driving. And literally the only thing you can do, in Garrett County in Maryland, it's like a death trap. You know, several years back they had a car wreck that was like 200 cars. Because what happened is it was a heavy fog, one person gets in a wreck, the person behind gets in the wreck, person after person after person. Why? You can't really see. What you're trying to do is honestly just look at the lights behind you of the car, because you can't really see the road at all. And there's snow coming, and your car's kind of shaky. Look, I used to drive that all the time, but you know, I always said in the back of my mind, you know what, this is the church I go to, it's the best church, and I'm willing to make the drive. You know, and I ended up actually moving to West Virginia, and instead of driving an hour and 45 minutes to church, I drove an hour and a half to work, five times a week. Okay? And I remember one morning, I was there for church on Sunday. You know, I lived in Morgantown at the time. I woke up the next day to drive back, and the snow was so bad, it took me 3.5 hours.
Wow.
It took me a long time because it was extremely dangerous. But you know what? I did that for a long time. Why? Because that was the church in my area.
Right.
Okay? You go to the best church that's in your area, even if it takes you effort. I'm not asking you to do something that I don't do, because I used to do that as well.
Right.
Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Bible reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. The third point is this, that you have to make an effort to miss church. You have to make an effort to miss church. Now that might sound strange to you, but look at that word forsake. What does forsake mean? Well, turn to Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. And in Hebrews 13:5, what the Bible reads is this: let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Okay? Forsaking is basically like a stronger word than leave. Right? We know when we're saved, God's never going to leave us. We're saved no matter what we do the rest of our lives. Once saved, always saved, no exceptions. Okay? Once we're saved forever. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. Forsake is basically like a strong term to say that you're leaving. But here's the thing. If you're going to forsake something, that implies you're making an effort to leave.
Right.
Okay? He's never going to forsake us. If he were to forsake us, he would actively leave us. He's putting in effort. Okay? You say, why does it say not forsaking? Because you're expected to be here. And to miss, you're actually making an effort to miss. Okay? But honestly, this logically makes sense as well, because think about when you skip work. When you skip work, what do you have to do? You have to call and say, sorry, you know, I'm sick today, I'm not going to make it. Right? You have to actually make that phone call. Then people ask you the other day, hey, why weren't you at work the other day? Oh, I was sick. Right? But when you miss church, what every single person does is they give the reasons why they're missing church. Because people ask them about it, and they'll say, well, you know, because of this, because of that. And they might have a valid reason, but you're actually, you know, having to put in an effort to say, hey, this is why I wasn't there. Okay? Look, the bottom line is God expects you to be at this church.
Right.
If you're in this area and you consider this your church, God expects you to be here. Okay? He expects you to be at church. You say, Brother Stuckey, you know, right now I'm not able to come to church all the time. You know, maybe your work schedule's all over the place and you miss church sometimes. Well, you know, honestly, I understand that it's going to take some effort, but you want to make a change so you're going to be able to be here as much as possible.
Right.
Okay? I understand you might have a job where you're missing on Sundays, but that's not something you want to be doing permanently.
Right.
You want to find a way to get the problem fixed. And I understand that it's a problem that I don't have, and you might have a situation. I understand that. That's something you honestly should pray about and think about and figure out, what can I do so I'm not missing church for work? Because work is not more important than church.
Right.
Now, work is necessary. We need to work. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to be in the situation where you're just always missing church. That's not a good position to be in.
Right.
Now, notice what it says in Hebrews 10. Go back to Hebrews 10. Let's look at verse 25 again. Now, in terms of my part in that, when people are not able to come for because of work purposes, I always pray for those people. And I pray that they'll be able to fix their schedule and make a change. I hope that you'll make the same effort as well. I'm willing to pray for you that you're going to be able to make that change. That's something that you want to change, though. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that you need to just go out today and just quit your job if that's the situation you're in. I'm not saying that. Okay, but what I'm saying is, you want to find a way to get that change and actually pray about it and think about it and figure out, what can you do? Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Bible reads, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Okay, the fourth point is this, that some people do this. They forsake church. Okay, church isn't that important to them. Okay, it says, as the manner of some is. Some people have a pattern of missing church. That's just the way it is. You know, whenever a church starts, there's always people that are, you know, there from day one, but there's certain people that you know are not going to be there permanently. Because honestly, some people just have a pattern where they're just not going to be at church. Okay? When it comes to people that listen to sermons online, everyone says, man, I wish I had a church in my hometown. If this church was in my hometown, man, I would be at every service. I'd be your number one soul winner. I'd do anything I could to serve the church. And a lot of those people, they don't even go to church.
Yeah.
It happens all the time in the U.S.
Right.
People are looking for, I remember, you know, a story from Pastor Anderson from a long time ago. You know, he had a good friend of his that he went to Bible college with that actually did graduate from Hiles Anderson. And, you know, he graduated from Hiles Anderson and he started a church in Iowa. And I remember somebody visited Faithful Word Baptist Church one day. And he's like, man, you know, I really wish, you know, I could have a good church, you know. The same old story, you know, my pastor's lame, the preaching's bad, they don't really go soul winning, you know. It's like that for pretty much all of us. And then he said, I wish there was a church like Faithful Word. And then he was actually lived like 15 minutes away from the new church that was being started by someone who believed in the post-trib rapture, who went soul winning all the time, believed everything we do. Okay? And Pastor Anderson told me, like, hey, my good friend, one of my best friends, is starting a church in the next couple months in your hometown. Guess what? That person never showed up to church. It's the same old story. I mean, it's not just something that happens. It happens all the time. People say, you know, man, if there's a church like this, I'd be there all the time. No, no, Not necessarily. Because the manner of some people is not to come to church. It's very easy to listen to a sermon online. It's very easy.
Yeah.
You don't have to get dressed up.
No.
You know, you can pause it to put some food in the microwave. Right? I mean, it's very easy to just listen to the sermon at home. You can listen to it at midnight. You can listen to it at 4 in the morning. Whatever you want. It's very easy to do that.
Right?
It's not as easy when you have a set time, a set location. And, you know, honestly, there's no real dress standards here, but, you know, most people are going to show up at least somewhat dressed up. Probably more than if you listen. I mean, when you listen to a sermon at home, you don't say, well, I got to pause. I got to put on my tie. You know, I got to put on my suit to listen to this sermon, right? You don't do that. Neither do I, okay? But obviously at church, you know, you're going to come dressed up to a certain degree, okay? But some people just are never going to be at church because, quite honestly, the manner of some people is not to be a part of church.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Now, obviously, I'm preaching to people that are actually here at church, but I just want you to understand this, that if we had, you know, 20 people that lived right around this area that listened to all the sermons, and once they found out the church was here, look, not all of them would come to this church, even if it was walking distance away. Some of them would just not come to church. Why? It's just not that important to them, okay? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I want you to understand something, that when you think about in the Bible, when John the Baptist was preaching, he was preaching where? Out in the wilderness. Now, guess what? People didn't have cars to get there. You say, Brother Suggy, it's really hard to get to church. I have to take 3 rides or whatever. Look, it was a lot harder with John the Baptist.
Right.
They put in great effort to come.
Right, yeah.
They might be basically forsaking their food for the day. Like, hey, we're going to eat breakfast before we go. Hey, we'll eat dinner like 14 hours late when we get home. We're going to eat a big dinner when we get home. We're not going to have lunch. We're not going to necessarily be able to pack a lunch or whatever. You know, who knows? But it's not like you could just stop on the side of the street and say, oh, wow, Robinson's grocery store. I'm kind of hungry. I'll just grab a bottle of water. I'll grab this. Look, I mean, they didn't have those modern conveniences that we
have. Right.
So basically, when they went to listen to John the Baptist, they had faith that, you know what, along the way, we're not going to have, you know, our chariot or whatever we're riding in is going to be fine. There's not going to be any problems. And we're just going to go by faith and just go to hear the word of God. You leave early and come back late. And what happened was Sundays was meant to be a day where this is my day for the Lord.
Right.
Basically, whether I start early and end late, hey, this is my day that I'm serving God.
Right.
Okay? When John the Baptist preached, that's what they did. When Jesus preached, didn't people come a long distance away? And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, they don't have any food. They just kind of went by faith and just said, I just want to hear the word of God preached. And then Jesus obviously fed the great multitude. But look, they were going without understanding or without believing necessarily that they would have food on the other side. They just said, you know what? I want to hear the word of God preached. I don't care if it makes me tired. I don't care if it makes me exhausted. Look, it's not that bad to be able to leave at 7 or 8 in the morning and you're here from 10 to 1. You know, you eat lunch, you go somewhere, and you get back at 6 at night. Look, our services are early. You don't get back at midnight. You know, they're designed that way to help people out because I understand people are coming from a distance. I don't want you to have to get back super late at night. But look, our service times are pretty convenient for people coming from a long distance away.
Right.
Back-to-back services, you know, lunch, and if you want to stay for soul winning, you can do all of that in one day. We designed it that way for a reason, okay? They are pretty convenient for people coming from a distance. Honestly, it's not that big of a challenge to say, oh, wow, I'm getting back, and I still have like 5 hours before I go to sleep at night. Look, in the Bible, people made a much, much bigger effort than any of us are.
Right.
Hebrews 10, verse 25, notice what it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. See, the Bible says so much the more. What that's showing you is you need church more now than you did in the past.
Right? Yeah.
It's more important now to go to church than it was in the past. You say, why? Because of the fact, with the invention of the cell phone, guess what? People are seeing worldliness and wickedness every single day with Facebook and TV and everything like that, with the music blaring. Look, you're around the world all the time. Every single week, the world is trying to get your old man stirred up. That old song you used to listen to, the old man, the devil's trying to stir it up. The world's trying to do that. Guess what? You need church more now. As the wickedness increases, you need somebody actually standing up here and preaching against the wickedness and telling you that, hey, you know what? Vice Gonda ain't normal. That's not normal. I don't care if everybody watches it. It's not normal. It's wicked. It's perverted. It's not normal. And look, if you don't hear that at church, where are you going to hear that? And the sad reality is there aren't a lot of people standing up and just telling you the truth. You're not hearing that at church. See, this church sometimes offends you with what's being said. Yeah, because of the fact what's happening is you're being unbrainwashed.
Right, right.
You're being unbrainwashed at church. See, the world will brainwash you throughout the week. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get unbrainwashed, and look, you in your personal time, you should be reading the Bible as much as possible to unbrainwash yourself.
Right, yeah.
Because the reality is we live in the world, and the world will brainwash you. Okay? Look, if you were the devil, what would you do? Doesn't the Bible say the devil is the god of this world?
Right.
Doesn't it say that in 2 Corinthians 4? He's the god of this world. Look, if you were the devil, and you were the god, lowercase g, of this world, and you had free reign to destroy people's lives, wouldn't you try to do it with the music and the movies and everything that you see? Of course you would.
Right.
But the devil's not an idiot. He's obviously trying to do that. And that's why you need church more now than you did in the past. Why? Because honestly, 100 years ago, when you walked down the street, it wouldn't have been that weird.
Yeah, right.
People would have been dressed like you'd expect people to be dressed. Now, if you walk down the street, it's just like, it's a crazy world out there.
Right.
You know, it used to be, honestly, this is the way it was like 30, 40 years ago. Pastors would preach against, you know, what they call mixed bathing. Okay? That's basically swimming, guys and girls swimming together. And the reason why they did that is because they understood that women would be dressed in a certain way, and guys would have their shirts off, which would be, you know, not the most modest thing. And they said, you know, it's not appropriate. But see, now, but that was a day when you'd walk down the street and everyone would be dressed normally. Now, though, it's just like, I mean, you can't do anything. If you go out in public, it's like mixed bathing everywhere. No matter where you go, people are dressed inappropriately. And it's like, honestly, you just can't avoid it.
Right.
So it's like, what I'm saying is not really that extreme, because you know what? They used to preach even more extreme in the past. But now it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And guess what? You need church more now. Okay? Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. You say, Brother Stuckey, this sounds like really extreme preaching. Well, that tells me that you need church more.
Right.
You need the Bible more, because honestly, the Bible is much more extreme than anything I've said this sermon.
Yeah.
This is not really that extreme at all. I mean, you read Genesis 19, that's extreme. I mean, God destroyed an entire city, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the Sodomites, because of the Bakla.
Yeah.
That's why he destroyed the entire town. Okay, I didn't make up that story. The word Sodomite comes from the town of Sodom.
Yeah.
That's the way God feels about it. Okay? Look, you look throughout the Bible. What I'm saying is really not that extreme at all.
Right.
Throughout the Bible, God is extreme. We serve an extreme God. He expects our righteousness. He expects us to obey us. But what I'm saying in this sermon is just simply, just come to church.
Yeah.
It's not really that extreme. And honestly, if you came to church regularly and you heard the preaching, it would start to seem pretty normal to you. If it doesn't seem normal to you, that's because, you know, you don't hear a lot of preaching.
Yeah.
And honestly, I always challenge people this, that if you read the Bible in your personal life, just every day you read the Bible, read it cover to cover one time, and you won't think anything I'm saying is true.
Right.
Every single person, when they read the Bible for the first time, they're like, wow, I had no idea that, you know, God was so, you know, vengeful, wrathful. Yeah, I mean,
right.
If you read the Bible, yeah, he takes, you know, serving him very seriously. He hates wickedness. That's what the Bible teaches.
Yep.
Ephesians 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, it is not good enough just to be saved. You need
right.
to be renewed.
Right. Yeah.
You need that as often as possible. Every single day you have to put on the new man.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Because the world brainwashes you. You're in the old man. It says, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Look, the world brainwashes you every single week. You need to be in the new man as much as possible. Every day you need renewed. You need to be reminded of the same things you already know and you've heard them preached. Okay? It's not good enough to preach on a topic and then never hear it again for 20 years. No, you need to hear it over and over again. Why? Because every single week the world is brainwashing you. Now, what you heard in this sermon is wrong.
Right.
And you need to be renewed as much as possible. Now, the best way is to just read your Bible.
Amen.
That's the number one best way.
Amen.
But, you know, church as well, because you need to hear it preached. And you need to be in a place where people motivate you to live for God. Now, turn to 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10. And so, when it comes to this sermon, you know, your number one purpose of coming to church is simply because you care about other people. You say, Brother Stuckey, the people at this church are my friends. I consider them my church family. I love them. You know, you should be at this church because you care about your friends. Because your friends want to see you here.
Yeah.
Your church family wants to see you here. It's not just me. Everybody wants to be here. We want the people at this church. We care about people being at this church. And so you say, Brother Speck, you know, what if I don't feel like going to church? You go to church anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you do. Because your life is not about you. That is the number one main focus of the entire Bible, is learning that your life is not about you. It's about other people. And you should be in church because you actually care about those people and because you want to motivate them.
Man.
Okay? Look, I've been to church before. There's a guy that I knew at one of my old churches in West Virginia, you know, Brother Dave, and I nicknamed him in my head the human spark plug. Okay? And the reason why I said this was because every single Sunday, man, he had a smile on his face, and he'd just shake your hand really firm and say, hey, how's it going, brother? And just every, I mean, and I was there at church for years. Every single week, that's what he did. He wasn't acting phony or whatever. He was just a very enthusiastic, excited person. And I'll tell you what, I showed up at church sometimes that I did not feel like being there. But once I saw Brother Dave and he shook that hand, and it, you know, man, I was like, man, I feel pretty good now. Why? Because when you're around people that are in a good mood, you end up being in a good mood.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you're coming to church, you should be here to try to encourage one another. Because if you come to church and you're just depressed, you know, some people, you know, all they want to do is tell you about their problems. It's like, oh, you know, well, let's start from when I was 10 years old. And, you know, I was supposed to go get ice cream. And, you know, my mom promised me that ice cream. And then, you know, my dad said no. And I've never forgiven my dad until this day. And then, you know, I became a teenager and I wanted to date this guy, blah, blah. It's like, look, you know, we don't need to hear all your problems, okay?
Right.
And that's a bit of an exaggeration, but honestly, there's people like that. Yeah. That all they want to do is tell you about their problems. You know, you knock on that door, and then someone, you know, just a couple minutes in, they just start talking to you about their life.
Yeah.
And say, man, I remember when I was a kid, and this, and that. They just want to tell you about their problems and things like that. No, I mean, church is about other people. And your lives are about other people. It's not about yourself, okay? 1 Kings 10, verse 8. Let's wrap this up. 1 Kings 10, verse 8. It says, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. And 1 Kings 10 is really the best chapter. We look at kind of what is the perfect church. But what you see is that these people were there and they heard the wisdom of Solomon. They're actually there. They came, they showed up to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And when it comes to being at church, and notice what it said in verse 8, happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. Look, when you hear the word of God preached and you show up to church, it's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
Right. You say, well, Brother Stuckey, you know, I'm depressed. I don't feel like being at church. That means you must be at church.
That's right.
Because that will make you feel better. Being at church is going to put you in a better mood. Okay? But if you just stay at home and just kind of sulk and be depressed, and all you do is just think about yourself and how bad your life is all day, you're just going to permanently be miserable.
Right.
The secret to getting over depression is to quit thinking about why you're depressed.
Yeah.
Because right. Guess what? Eventually, you won't even remember why you're depressed.
Right.
And I don't even remember what was bugging you. See, when you forget about something and you don't think about it, you don't talk about it, you forget about it.
Right.
I mean, you go back to people that you went to school with in elementary school. Do you know all of their names? No, you don't. You know why? Because you don't actively think about it every day. And eventually, you just forget about it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same thing with things that bug you in your life. If you would just quit meditating on yourself all the time. This is the secret. You know, you don't have to go to a psychiatrist to get some sort of drug to give you the answer to this. Here's the secret. Don't think about yourself all the time. Think about other people. What's going to be the result? Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants. This is honestly the number one most basic part of being a Christian.
Amen.
Because you're basically showing, hey, this is what I believe. I agree with these people. I link up with these people. And look, don't be embarrassed to show up to this church because other Baptist churches hate us. Don't be embarrassed to show up to this church if one day I get on the news for something I preach.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be at church because you're saying, you know what? I believe in that church. I support the church. I believe the same thing they do. I believe the Word of God. I believe in soul winning. I believe in hard preaching. I believe what the Bible says. Church is very important. And here's the thing. The purpose of church is about other people. It's not about yourself. But if you would actually come to church, everything you want out of church would end up coming. You want to learn the Word of God, you would learn it.
Amen.
You want to be motivated to live for God, you get motivated to live for God. But your purpose, your reason for coming to church must be because you care about other people and not yourself. Let's go to the Word of Prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to hear your Word of God preached. And just all the people in this room, God, that love you and want to serve you, God, we ask you to continue to bless this church. Help us, you know, with our church.